Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on key highlights of Economic Survey 2024-25. The participants are Dr. S.P. Sharma, Economic Analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor.
Today, the Economic Survey was tabled in Parliament, giving an overview of the state of economy in the current financial year. A bit of stock-taking is important and sets the framework for the coming budget, which shall be tabled tomorrow. For more on this, we are joined by Economic Analyst Dr. S.P. Sharma. Welcome, Dr. Sharma, to Akashvani Studio.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Sharma, as per the survey, let's first talk about the global economy a bit. The global economy exhibited steady but uneven growth across regions in 2024. One notable trend that was seen was slowdown in global manufacturing, especially in Europe and parts of Asia, due to supply chain disruptions and weak external demand. In contrast, the services sector performed better, supporting growth in many economies. What would you say to that?
Yes, manufacturing was slowing down in many economies, particularly in European countries and Asia, because of the global headwinds like the geopolitical developments in many parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that impacted the manufacturing trajectory because the manufacturing exports, the merchandise exports were not that much intact. And that also happened in India. India's merchandise export growth was also slow as compared with the services sector. But overall, services sector activity was very intact at the global level. So growth was uneven in many economies, somewhere growing and somewhere slowing down significantly. But the services sector overall performed very well according to the Economic Survey. And the great thing is that inflationary pressures are now decelerating significantly at the global level. But in some economies, inflation has become sticky at some level, not decelerating from that particular level, which are not still at the tolerable level. So that may cause some uncertainty about the policy rates as some economies may take decision that they are not going to reduce the policy rates very soon. So volatility will remain as geopolitical tensions, conflicts still remain. Mm-hmm. And some trades are also emerging because of some change in policy stance in the U.S.
Right. Well, we thought that U.S. would have its shadow on the survey, but it was China. And yes, quite expectedly so, because we are moving towards transitional energy. But if we go for solar energy or electric vehicles, for which a lot of incentives have been given in the last few budgets, the raw material, the catch is that the raw material comes from China, and for that we are dependent on China. Is that unavoidable? Are we ensuring steps to ensure that we are Atmanirbhar in the raw material so that we are not dependent on China for this?
Yes, growth at 6.4% for the current year and somewhere between 6.3 to 6.8 for the next financial year is very much in line with the expectations as global headwinds and global uncertainties still persist. So in the scenario of such uncertainties, if India is growing more than 6%, that is a great thing despite the global headwinds. So we are looking at some growth trajectory of more than 7% or somewhere near 8% after the 25-26, because economies are expected to stabilize once again, and some talks of ceasefire in the some parts of conflicted areas are also in force. So going forward, peace is expected at the global level, and that will give a great support to the emerging economies like India to move fast and to perform robust. And our mission, our objective to become Viksit Bharat will remain intact as economy is expected to achieve size of more than 6 trillion by 2030. And that is in line with our expectations as economy is going to become $4 trillion in the next financial year, 25-26. So all these developments are very much in line with the expectations considering the global headwinds and growth boosting policies at the domestic level.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great balance in India of the macro economy with the calibrated steps in the fiscal scenario and monetary scenario that we are able to manage many headwinds and our growth remains intact despite such uncertainties.
Well, great to hear the optimistic figure of 7% from you. Well, let's move on. We are now moving towards energy transition. Now, if we go for solar energy or electric vehicles, for which the government has been pushing very hard and giving financial incentives, we need raw material, and for that we are dependent on China. Is that unavoidable in the coming future? And how is the government geared to combat this problem? Because we are now focusing on Atmanirbhar Bharat, but unless the raw material, which is a lot many minerals, unless get self-sufficient in raw materials, it's going to be tough.
Yes, you are very true that we have to become Atmanirbhar, and we still import so many things from China. And our objectives to become green economy and renewable economy, and our focus on the electrical vehicles remains strong. In this scenario, how to become Atmanirbhar and how to reduce the import content? That is very true, because we sometimes unnecessarily import many things from the foreign markets, which can be developed indigenously. Mm-hmm. And we have to develop those capacities. And though we are producing those commodities, but the volumes are low. So that's why we import from the other countries like China. So we have to enhance the volumes with our production efficiencies and support of the ease of doing business and the intact policy environment. So that is the scenario at this juncture, that we have to support the indigenous production possibilities with the more and more ease of doing business and policy reforms at the domestic front.
I think that is why deregulation became the buzzword for the survey. We'll talk about that a little later. For the moment, let's focus on agriculture growth, Dr. Sharma. Agricultural growth was great even during the pandemic, because everyone has to have food, and that stabilizes. But we have recorded a growth rate of 3.5%, which is an improvement over the previous four quarters. What do you credit this agriculture growth to? Healthy kharif production or above normal monsoon?
Yes, because during the 2017-18, 18-19, 19-20 and 2020-21, our agriculture growth remained very, very intact. Barring last year, our growth was more than 3% many years. And that is the historical development, that we grew consistently more than 3% for many years. And that also provided a good support to our agriculture exports, and agriculture exports surpassed the $50 billion mark in 22-23. So going forward, agriculture is a great resilient sector of the Indian economy, which is providing great support. And this year also, with the support of agriculture sector and rural demand, our economy is able to grow more than 6%, anticipated at 6.4% for the current financial year. So agriculture sector will remain a great support of the Indian economy, not only for the current year or the next year, but for many years, because agriculture is backbone of the economy, which creates the rural demand, and rural demand provides great room to the factories to sell their products with the increased demand in the rural segments. So that also create great demand for goods and services, and create employment opportunities in the factories. So I believe agriculture sector will support our mission towards Viksit Bharat, as we have to create the demand trajectory, and demand will come from the rural segment, and which will provide a great room for the factories to deploy more and more workforce in their respective premises.
Right. Let's talk about deregulation. That became the buzzword for this economic survey today. For a long time, the government talked about regulation, but now it's talking about reducing excessive regulatory burdens for ease of doing business. Why? Is it to reduce costs? Is it to unlock new growth opportunities to facilitate MSMEs? Why?
Yes, government is doing a lot at the ease of doing business front, though at the macro level, ease of doing business improved a lot from 142 to 63, according to the World Bank parameters. But in the recent years, government is removing so many compliances, like more than 42,000 compliances have been removed or simplified in the business processes, which are giving great sentiment to the business community to move forward with more and more expanded production possibilities. And also, government is in the process of decriminalizing the many panels, like they have simplified 3,400 laws which were criminal but shifted to decriminal. So all these developments are for the ease of doing business at the factory level, which is giving great sentiment and boost to the Indian businesses, particularly the MSME sector. So ease of doing business, I would say, is a strong foot.
You talked about MSME, micro, small and medium enterprises. Assuming that the government doesn't want to interfere in or deregulate in micromanagement and micro regulation, talking about MSMEs, they contribute about more than 40% to the GDP. Now the government has launched a self-reliant India fund with a corpus of 50,000 crore rupees. Would that boost employment as well?
Yes, because MSMEs major issues many years ago were the finances. So many schemes are providing great support to the MSME sector so that they are not challenged by the availability of finances. So all these arrangements made by the government, like the credit guarantee scheme and the great this 50,000 crore booster fund, all these are increasing the strength of manufacturing or the MSMEs, which are currently contributing at around 30-31% in GDP. But in the advanced economies, the share of the MSMEs is more than 60% sometimes, and the MSME sector is highly developed in the developed economy. So our mission towards Viksit Bharat indicates that we also should strengthen our MSMEs so that the MSME sector is developed significantly, and which will be a great indication or our journey, strong journey towards the Viksit Bharat.
Let's listen to what the Chief Economic Advisor, Mr. Anand Nageshwaran, had to say.
The game has to be rely on domestic drivers of growth. So what are those domestic drivers of growth? Just to recap, we do have a goal, a legitimate economic and social aspiration to become a developed country by 2047. The last economic survey broke it down into multiple components, generating about 8 million, 80 lakh jobs per year, increasing our share of manufacturing in GDP, plugging Indian businesses into global value chains, and creating a viable small, medium enterprise sector. Because countries that basically became powerhouses in manufacturing had succeeded in creating a viable small, medium enterprise sector. Therefore, our goal with respect to manufacturing is inextricably tied to the success of being able to raise the share of SME enterprises as well.
Let's talk about industrial sector. It grew by 6% in first half of financial year 25, as the survey says, and is estimated to grow by 6.2% in financial year 25. Now, manufacturing exports have slowed down due to weak demand from destination countries. We also had a mixed bag of factors like monsoon was good. It was good for agriculture, but it also disrupted sectors like mining, construction, and to some extent, manufacturing. How do you see this?
Yes, manufacturing slowdown was majorly because of this global demand or slowdown in our destination countries. But I don't see that this trend will continue as demand is now re-emerging in many economies, particularly in US, the growth is becoming intact. So in the next financial year, I believe that manufacturing will rebound significantly and support the overall economic growth trajectory of the country. Though the growth is estimated at 6.3 to 6.8%, but I am believing that this growth will be surpassing 7% with the support of external demand trajectory.
All right, we have a little time left, Dr. Sharma. Quick comment on some great news the survey has given us. One is that the gross NPAs in the banking system have declined to a 12-year low of 2.6% of gross loans and advances. And India was the top recipient of remittances in the world, driven by an uptick in job creation in OECD economies. And India's foreign exchange reserves has increased quite a bit. And the unemployment rate for individuals aged 15 years has declined from 6% in 2017 to 3.2% in 2023-24. A quick comment on this.
Yes, because external sector, despite the headwinds, remained strong with the support of the remittances and support of the strong services exports. So going forward, we are expecting that for the next year, manufacturing or merchandise exports will also support, and external sector will remain strong at the global marketplace, and we will be more and more strong and resilient in the global ecosystem, in the global external chart, as our growth is going to become more strong in the next financial year.
It's time to wind up the program. Thank you very much, Dr. Sharma, for talking to us and throwing your views economic survey tabled in Parliament today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on key highlights of Economic Survey 2024-25. The participants were Dr. S.P. Sharma, economic analyst, and Lalima Anija Dang, anchor.
Spotlight.